Good morning, church family. How are we doing today? Very blessed today. Amen. Sorry about that. Excuse me while I try to take this break. Okay, perfect. Alrighty, it is a privilege to be able to be here with you this morning, especially on such a high Sabbath that we have today. Having baptisms, I know that for me, baptism was very a special thing for me. I was actually raised Roman Catholic, and I wasn't I didn't get baptized until I was around 18, 19 years old, right out of high school. And for me, it was a real commitment to allowing God to do many things in my life. And so I know that along with the commitment to Christ, there's so much. It's only the beginning, amen. And that we were able to see so many things come from that. And so thank you, Stephanie, for the introduction. Yes, my name is Randy Rincon. I'm actually a current student and second year at Souls West, which is a Bible college. We actually had one of our teams were here for about the last 3 weeks, getting many of the literature into the homes of this community, and also Bible studies and getting Bible study contacts and such of those, that nature. And so today, I just wanted to really just quickly share some a really profound truth on the promises of God and how that relates to faith. And so let's begin with a word of prayer, and we go into our study this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again, Lord, for being able to be here with us. We thank you for the baptisms that we're having today, and more than anything, Lord, that for your word. We believe that your word has power to change our lives, and is evident for all of, in all of the members here, and how you work through us, Lord, creating miracles and changing our lives from the inside out. And I know that you will continue to do so for those who are being baptized today. And I just pray, Lord, that you would please be with me as I present your word faithfully, Lord, and that I would be able to, we would all be able to have a blessing from this. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty, so our message for today is called the Foundation of Faith. And as we know, foundations are very important, amen? They actually give a lot of important attributes to a home, especially if you're going to ever want to engineer and build a house. A foundation actually basically gives the strength, gives it stability, and gives it something that which can withhold and withstand many things. And so the foundation of our faith today, we kind of, it would come from the promises of God. And not more than anything, our faith. Amen? And so I wanted to kind of look at a specific aspect of faith and what actually gives it its power. Because sometimes we look at our faith and we sometimes don't understand the what it actually means. And today I just want to quickly look at a specific aspect of it and show how powerful it can be. So let's continue. This is a quote that I have from Thomas Watson. It says, "Nothing can cut the diamond but another diamond. And therefore, nothing can interpret Scripture but Scripture." That's something that we can apply as principle in understanding this. So if you ever had looked up a verse in the, or a word in the Bible, you want to go where it was first mentioned, and then it will give you more understanding of what it actually means. So the first time I looked in my Bible concordance, and the first time the Bible uses the word faith is actually found in this verse, Deuteronomy 32, verse 20. It's very interesting because we understand that faith actually, the concept is it's there from Genesis, but when it's first used is in Deuteronomy 32:20, and it says this, "And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be, for they are a perverse generation, children in whom is no faith." Amen? And here, it's very clear that whatever faith is, these people don't have it. And more than anything, we will see that and God's judgment is on them because of their lack of faith, which is also displeasing to God. So we don't know what faith is according to this verse, but we know that we need it so that we would be able to please God. And it goes along with actually Hebrews 11:6, which says, but without faith, it is impossible to what? To please God. Amen. So we need to understand that. Our next one, the next verse that actually uses the word faith is actually in Habakkuk. It says, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And this verse is actually the bedrock of the Reformation. We understand that because of this verse, and in Romans also, Romans 1:17, Paul really uses this verse to say, when we start our walk with God, when we are baptized and begin our walk with God, he says we should live it with our faith, with faith. And this is why it's so important to understand this concept of faith, because we're supposed to not only have it to please God, but it also is important for our daily walk with him. And that's why we're going to really bring that out. And so, where do we understand faith? It's one of the, there's actually a whole chapter that's called the chapter of faith. And this one in Hebrews 11, it actually was where we're going to start our study. 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so I want you guys to focus on a specific part of this verse where it says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. When we understand who God is, then it will give us more of an understanding of faith. What do I mean by that? Let's actually continue. And we're going to actually go to the beginning of the chapter in Hebrews 11:1. And it says this, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This is our biblical definition of faith. And it continues, it says, for by it, by the people of old, received the commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And that might kind of go over your head, but I want you guys to understand that in verse 3, there's a specific aspect of God's character that is actually related to our understanding of faith. Can anybody tell me what that is? What aspect of God's character does the Bible highlight so that we can understand the power in faith? If you look very closely, it says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. And this aspect that we understand is where the power of faith and promises come from. What do I mean by that? It's saying this, that we understand that God is a creator, and that he was able to create the world and universe by a simple method. What method was that? By speaking it to existence, right? That's very interesting and very important to understand, because when he created the world, he could have done it so many different ways. He could have just like formed it. He would have been able to got something else and just kind of created it. No. There was nothing there, and he spoke, and it existed. And I think he did it for a very important reason, and this is why we understand this today, because in Psalms 33:6-9, it says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. So imagine in the beginnings of creation, there was nothing there. Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit were present, and they just decided to continue the creation. And so all of a sudden, he just says, boom, like the Milky Way galaxy, just become. And even in the beginning, we see that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And he says, let there be what? Light. And there was light. And all of a sudden, just by him saying it, it happened. And so I just want you guys to kind of illustrate this. I want you guys to kind of like understand this. This is our solar system. It's kind of a little small, but yeah, you can see that. All the little, you see where the earth is? That's us. And you can, all these planets are related to the sun. And within we kind of sometimes believe our earth is really huge, but when related to other planets, it's kind of small. And then related to the actual sun, it's even smaller than that. And it's really amazing that we understand the universe as it is, and we still haven't figured out completely how intricate and how deep the universe is. We can't even understand the depths of the sea that we live in, the earth that we live in now, much less the universe that we are a part of. And I just want to give you like another illustration. It says here, this is the UY Scuti star. This is a star. This is something that's very important. Really amazing to understand. Look, it's the UY Scuti that is a star. It's currently the largest known star. It's a bright red supergiant and pulsating variable star in the constellation Scium. It is a current leading candidate for the largest known star by radius and is also one of the most luminous of its kind. It has an estimated radius of 10,708 solar radii. What is that? It's basically the volume of nearly 5 billion times the sun. So we can understand the illustration on the top right. The sun is huge. It's no small star. But according to the biggest star that we have known so far, it's 500 billion times smaller than that. So I want you guys to just kind of let that sink in. Its photosphere would engulf, meaning if it was placed in the middle of our sun and within our solar system, its photosphere, meaning the edges of the star, would actually engulf the orbit of Jupiter. So that's how huge it would actually be. Imagine the sun is in the center and we replace that with this star. It would actually, the size of it would actually reach the orbit of Jupiter. What kind of God, what kind of being would be have the ability to speak this into existence? Is my question this morning. And when we understand the amazingness of God, the awesomeness of God, when related to faith and related to His promises, is when we can start to realize the power behind His word, the power behind His promise. Amen. So let's just continue our study, and we will understand like how amazing this understanding is. Let's continue. Romans 4:17. It says this: God gives life to the dead and brings to existence the things that do not exist. It says right here, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. This is relating to Abraham. In the presence of a God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is relating to the story of Abraham. When we look at Abraham, what was the thing that was impossible for him to do, for him and his wife to do? It's to bear children. And this verse basically very, very clearly explains that he would give life to dead things. If you look at, and we understood Sarah, she was 90 years old. No 90-year-old would have the ability to have children. But because God said it, it happened. Amen? And there are many skeptics today, many intellectuals, many different people that don't believe the Bible. And the reason is because they believe that it's too fantastic, that it's too unbelievable. They look at Moses and the spreading of the Red Sea, and they believe, oh no, that can never happen. They look at Noah and the worldwide flood. They look at the different miracles in the Gospels the walking on water, the multiplication of the bread and the fish, and say, how can you? They look at them as stories, as fables. But the reality is if we understand the God that of the Bible and how He created the universe and how He was able to create all of these things, in relation to that, we can then understand that every miracle and promise is nothing for Him. It makes everything more tangible.
If he's able to breathe a star that huge, how could he not be able to divide the bread into one, the bread and fish? If he was able to establish the different laws of physics, the understanding of what love is, all these the different concepts that we understand and take for granted today, how simple it is for him to be able to allow something like someone to walk on water or to do other things. How much less or easier would that be for him? Very easy. And so when we understand the God that we worship, how the power that lies within him, then we can know that his promises are sure and his testimony is true. Amen. Let me see. Okay. Oh, before I go there, I just want to really just reiterate this idea of the promises of God. So we understand that God spoke and it happened. Now, when we see that there is power behind that word, all of a sudden his promises are very powerful. Amen. And such as so when we have I didn't have it up there, but it's 2 Peter 1:4. Let's all just turn to it really really quickly. If you have your Bibles, it's in 2 Peter 1:4. And I just wanted to share with you this amazing thing. And this really has changed my understanding of my walk with God and what is actually possible. When we first commit to the study of God's Word, when we begin our walk with God, it is only the beginning, and we can learn so much more. And this principle, if applied early in your walk, will allow you to experience an even amazing, more stronger faith. Okay. And that's 2 Peter 1:4. Let me get that real quick. Everyone there? Amen? Okay. And it says this, whereby are we given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world through our lust. And so, simply, I wanted to kind of really bring this down to earth, and this making understanding that even though sometimes in our lives, in our Christian walk, it might seem impossible to do, because God said it, all of a sudden, it would. It becomes possible. This is the amazing thing. I want to share you this with you this very prophecy quotes. This is really powerful. It says as the will of man cooperates with the will of God, it becomes omnipotent. It becomes what? Omnipotent. It says whatever is to be done at his coming, at his command, may be accomplished in his strength. And so, and this is the most important part here. It says all his biddings are enabling. Do you guys understand what that means? All his biddings are enabling. And so when he commands us to do something, for instance, when he commands us to go out to all the world and proclaim his gospel, you would say, how are we going to do that? But when he commands it, he enables us automatically for us to be able to accomplish what he's asked of us. Why? Because when he says, it actually creates the power within us to do it, to accomplish it. And so when we look at the promises of God, there are many, many in the Bible, and all of a sudden, they become power to us. So for instance, we have promises of peace. In John chapter 14, verse 26, says, peace I leave unto you, not like the world gives it. And we also have promises of rest. Matthew 11:28-29, come unto me all who are heavy, all of you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We have promises of strength. Isaiah 40:29-31, it says, I will run and not grow weary, I will walk and never faint. We have promises of endurance. Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary by doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We have promises of hope. It says Jeremiah 29:11, I know that I have my plans are that I have for you, which are of hope and not of fear. And lastly, promises of victory. 1 John 5, 5:4, which was read to this morning, that is, faith is the victory to us. And so when we understand that, that's really what it comes down to. Again, this is from the Fifth Testimonies, page 530. It says, "Let these blessed promises set in the framework of faith be placed in memory's halls. Not one of them will fail. All that God has spoken, he will do, because he is faithful that promised." Amen? And lastly, we have this last one. It's in Education, page 253. "Faith is trusting God, believing that he loves us and knows best what is for our good. Our lives, ourselves, are already his. Faith acknowledges his ownership and accepts his blessings." So very simply, when we apply God's principles, we automatically empower ourselves to complete what he has asked us to do. So the next time that you have a certain issue or a circumstance comes up, look for a promise that will help you to have victory over whatever that situation can be, because that is what God has provisioned ourselves to have, so that we can overcome whatever that is. So if you're discouraged, find a promise on discouragement. If you need strength, there are plenty of promises that will help you to give strength. And when we apply God's promises continually, we're able to experience a more deeper experience with God. Very simply, us as canvassers, we actually go out a lot. And we knock on different doors. And even this past couple of weeks, I was actually a leader in one of our blitz, our canvassing time that we have. And one of the things we did was we always constantly prayed for something specific, and we always would claim promises upon that. And so what we found out was that whenever we would claim promises and be very specific with our prayers, we would actually see that happen within the field, or we would have experiences with certain people that we were actually praying for. And these are the things, that are simple examples that you can actually experience, we can all experience, when we apply God's word. And that's and why is it so powerful? It's because that God, it's because of the God who's behind that promise. And so, this is actually let me see, what's that? Yeah. And so, in closing, I just wanted to really just have a closing appeal so that we can go into our baptisms. But how many of us desire to have that experience? To be able to apply God's promises in a way that we can see it very evidently in our lives. To be able to apply these enabling, powerful promises that can change us every day. I know that in my experience, we actually, as far as seeing where I was before and what I've been become now, I can see little by little just the changes in me, and in big ways, how God has changed me. And it is through those changes that we become gospels into all the world. I've heard it said this way, that there's five gospels. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the last gospel is you. It's us. And many, 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 many will never read the four gospels, but they will read you. So will you be that gospel to those in this world? Will you be able to give them to show them the power in God's word? How many would like to do that today? Amen. Alrighty. Amen. Now, as we continue our time, now is the time for our baptisms. And the amazing thing is that when we apply this promise, God promises us new life, and that we're going to see an actual representation of that through these baptisms today. So we're going to have our baptisms on.
celebration here today. I will have Elisa to come down here, but in the meantime, I will invite also the the Miguel family, actually, to come to the front. Margarita, Julia, Sandra. I know those are the ones that have been actually helping you.
Yes.
Along this journey.
Doreen.
And Doreen especially too. Yeah. Yes. So I would like for all of you to come to the front. It will be very special for Elisa to have you here to join her as she actually commit herself to the Lord and seal her life basically with the Lord in baptism. All right. So Margarita, Julia is here. I know Sandra was around. Most likely she's probably at the kitchen helping over there. Nonetheless, okay. So we are here. All right. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this amazing day that you have given us. We know that at this very moment, we know that every eye from heaven is looking at Elisa at this moment. She actually will commit herself to you, Father. We ask that the way that you have been leading her, the way that you actually have been showing her everything through Scripture, that will be the way that she will continue until you come again. We thank you for everyone that have helped her in this journey, especially David, Linda, Margarita, Julia, Sandra, and Doreen, that actually she was that special person that you have sent, a messenger, so that she could actually relay this important message to her. And as she now seal her life with you, Lord, we ask that you bless her and that you continue working in her life. So, Father, so that her name may be written in the book of life and for the forgiveness of her sin, as a minister of the gospel, I baptize her in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Michael also to come to the baptismal water. I would like to ask, Robin is here. I don't know if we have any other, the Celaya family, we have Andrew here too. We would like for him to come. And Isaiah, I saw him earlier. Where are you? Santos too? And any other family that may be here so that they could be so close to. Well, Barbara, where are you? Don't be a stranger. Just come to the front too. I know we had already shared a few testimonies in regard of Michael here and the commitment that he actually promised to the Lord that he will serve him with all his heart and mind. And we have seen that, and we thank the Lord for that, because we have a new disciple of the Lord. Amen? Amen. And now, as he approached to me, he said, "Pastor, you know what? I would like to recommit myself to the Lord. I feel that the Lord has actually convicted me this time, and I would like to re-baptize." So let us pray this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again, because you have been leading Michael. I know there has been some struggles along the way, but we know for sure, Lord, that you've always been there for him, and he knows that. And as he realized, Father, that the Holy Spirit had convicted him, and his heart desire to serve you, Father, faithfully. So we ask, Lord, that you may continue working in his life, that you continue leading him, but mostly, Father, give him the wisdom as he asks for, so that he could be able to be a servant to you, that he could be a leader of this church, Lord, and that he may be able to also lead other men as he has taken this responsibility of leading the men ministry. So we ask, Lord, that you may bless him and that many others will come as an example that he has been given to us this morning. So, Father, so that his name may be written in the book of life and that all his sins may be forgiven, I baptize him as a minister of the gospel in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.